The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
I learn new things all the time. I hope you do too. And I'm saying this honestly. I guess, I don't know, maybe, I don't know whether I'm uneducated or naive or whatever. Until today, I had no idea that people were being taught in America's universities that the reason why we have police today is because of runaway slaves in the 1800s. I'm serious. I had no idea until today that that was a topic, a subject, that anybody was talking about that. And evidently, this is very common in America's universities. Police are corrupt because their roots are corrupt. Their origins are corrupt. A federal judge in an 88-page decision today in Columbus cited the same thing. Police in Columbus are corrupt because they have corruption in their roots, runaway slaves in the 1800s. Seriously, I never heard of that until today. And then I've heard it twice, and I'm learning more and more. This is being taught, and it is believed in many minority communities. We wouldn't have police if it wasn't for the runaway slaves in the 80s. It all goes back to slavery. It all goes back to Jim Crow. It all goes back. It all goes back. It all goes back. One of my listeners just wrote me and said, well, isn't it interesting that the police are condemned because their roots were in slavery, but they have no problem with Planned Parenthood and their roots in obvious racism of their founder, which is now admitted by the current CEO of Planned Parenthood, says, yeah, our founder was a racist. Yeah. Now, think about this. If this is the reason why we have police, can somebody name me any country on planet Earth that does not have police? I'll let you think about it. Can you name me any country on planet Earth that does not have police? I'll wait. I can't think of any. Do all of those countries trace their police back to runaway slaves? Of course not. Here is the fact. Chasing runaway slaves has zero to do with police today. Zero. But see, that's a fact, and the progressive liberal left doesn't care about facts. They deal with emotion and hysteria. Because here is what the progressive liberal left wants to communicate. You are a victim, and we are here to rescue you. You can't do it yourself. You don't know. You can't do it yourself because everything's stacked against you. You're a victim and you can't help it. But we are here to save you. And if the liberal left can convince people, and not just black people, poor people in general, you're a victim. You can't work hard. and work your way out of poverty. You can't do that. No. It's hopeless. You are hopeless, but we will help you. You elect us. You elect people like us, and we will help you. And here's the saddest thing. Who is being hurt the most by this inflammatory anti-police rhetoric built primarily on either distortions or, in some cases, outright lies? I'm not going to go through it today because I did yesterday and spent a lot of time on it yesterday. But yesterday I read you the absolute facts about the number of black men and women that are being shot and killed by police as compared to whites, the annual number and so on. I read all the facts to you. And the fact is, that is a very small problem in the black community. It is a problem. But among the problems, it's a very small problem. But because of the anti-police rhetoric that we're hearing over and over and over again, including by our own mayor here in Columbus, who once again has thrown the police under the bus, they have asked for the Department of Justice to come in and investigate. And today, Columbus Mayor Ginther said, "The police have resisted us every step of the way in reform." Every step. His words. "The police have resisted us every step of the way. We've tried to clean them up, but they won't let us." The previous police chief, Kim Jacobs, was quite offended by that. The liberal, left-leaning, lesbian, former police chief of Columbus, in response to Mayor Ginther, said, "What are you talking about? We talked all the time about reforms. We made enormous, we made great changes. What are you talking about?" Okay, what I started to say. What is the result of all this anti-police rhetoric, riots, demonstrations? "We hate the police. The police want to kill us." What is the result? Look at Seattle alone, just Seattle. Headline, more than 200 Seattle police officers walked off the job last year, according to the Seattle Police Department, following weeks of protests and, quote, anti-police rhetoric. Louisville, Kentucky has said they are facing a staffing crisis and things are dire. Portland, Oregon, massive number of police leaving. Chicago, Illinois, massive number of police leaving. So, what's the result? Crime in black neighborhoods is skyrocketing. In these cities where police have been demonized, protested, attacked, the police are leaving. The police are saying, "Okay, you don't want us? We're out of here." And so who's being hurt the most? Look at Columbus, Ohio. Anti-police rhetoric from our mayor, from our city council, constantly, now for over a year. Huge demonstrations and protests against police in Columbus. What's the result? Crime is skyrocketing in Columbus. Murders are skyrocketing in Columbus. And guess where? Guess which neighborhoods? The black neighborhood. So, who is being hurt? It's not the affluent white neighborhoods, I'll tell you that. It's the minority neighborhoods that are suffering the most. Whether it's Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York, or Columbus, Ohio. we are on a pace to set an all-time homicide record here in Columbus. And the overwhelming majority of those being murdered are blacks. Maybe the police are not the ultimate problem.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. All right, my rant is over. But my genuine, honest concern about all of the anti-police rhetoric are the people who are condemning the police the loudest. They're the ones that are going to suffer. It's like the professor. If you were listening earlier and I played the audio for you, this professor that hated the police, a student asked, well, if someone breaks into your house and they got a weapon, who are you going to call? She said, nobody. You're not going to call the police? No, I would be safer. I would be in more danger with the police. Well, what if they had a weapon? Who would you call? Nobody. Well, what would you do? And get this. This woke professor said, I'd ask them to leave. What? An armed intruder into your house. Excuse me, would you please leave? All right, enough of that. Let's go to the phones, and I've got Rick in Columbus on the line. Rick, welcome, and thank you for calling Bob Burney Live.
Hey, Bob, if I got time, I got a two-for-one topic, if that's possible.
Go for it.
All right, well, your scenario, all that person had to do was just call LeBron James, and they would have taken care of it.
Yeah.
You saw that skit, didn't you, that cop?
Yes, I did. I saw the cop, yeah. Excuse me. Hey, LeBron, what should I do? They're about to stab each other. Yeah, I love that.
So I know four Columbus police officers. I know one who's a rookie, got his badge last year. And he was telling us late summer, he's with his partner, they're driving, they run a plate on a car, and it comes back as somebody with a warrant. So they follow it, put on the flashers, lights, the car won't pull over, they keep following it, the car won't pull over. Well, finally, they followed the car all the way into a neighborhood, and by the time they got in that neighborhood, they said there were about 20 guys on each side of the street.
Wow.
Waiting for them.
Wow.
This is a true story here in Columbus.
Wow.
So they just backed up and left. Couldn't do a thing about it.
Yeah.
That's a true story, folks.
Sadly,
that's the environment they're dealing with.
Yeah, sadly, I believe it.
Yep. Now, I called like in November, and I said, you will never see such a push, a campaign, a blitz for people to get vaccinated. I saw that coming. But here's the thing. I ran numbers, CDC numbers, my own numbers, my age group. My chance of dying from COVID is 0.08% chance. Now, we had this pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And the rationale for continuing it is they're basically saying, the odds are, in your favor and all this, the needs of many outweigh the needs of the few mentality. But here's my point on that, okay? If they had a pause in administering the vaccine, that means there was some kind of side effect, though maybe a minor, maybe not, that they weren't expecting. Because if they were expecting this, they would have never had a pause. They just would have said, go about your business, folks. This was to be expected.
Yeah.
But to me, it was not to be expected. I remember quite clearly the swine flu pandemic, which was not a pandemic, and the thousands of people that got Guillain-Barré syndrome, and they had to stop the vaccination program. And my point is, you don't know long-term what this is going to do to you. It's just like the drug. I would encourage everybody, look up the drug Vioxx and what happened. They prescribed it for arthritis, yet it gave people heart conditions, and this you go to any website, any search engine you want. Minimum number by the FDA was to kill 27,000 Americans. Some physicians think even more. So my point is, They're not going to tell, tell right away or a few months how this vaccine is going to affect you over a long haul. But you just need to look at your risk category for your age.
Right.
And, make an informed decision. I really believe it is, I hate to say this, but I really believe that most of this is a conspiracy in this regard. It's about submission. We're wearing these face masks like Islamic women have to wear burqas anymore. It's a control thing, in my opinion, most of it. A lot of people died from COVID. My aunt was 98 in a nursing home, and she supposedly died from COVID. Now, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, Rick. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. You call and rant anytime you want, all right? Okay, God bless you. This is the most troubling thing about the COVID vaccine. We do not know what the long-term effects will be. We don't, because it has not been used long-term. So it's impossible to predict all of the long-term effects because we haven't studied it long-term. And what Rick said at the very end, I think, is the bottom line. Look at your risks. Look at who you are, where you are, what your health is, and so forth. That's why my wife and I are both high risk. So we took it. And I have no problem with that. We had a very dear friend that several months ago died of COVID. And there was no doubt she died of COVID. Had she had the vaccine, there's probably a 96% chance she wouldn't have died. That's big. That's big. But for young people, you got to make that decision yourself. And that's why I would absolutely resist mandatory vaccine. I would absolutely resist that. Because for young people that are not high risk, COVID is no big deal. What is it, like 99% of people 40 years old and younger, even if they get COVID, it'll be very mild and they'll be fine? I think it's about 99% for people 40 years of age and younger. So you do your research and you make your decision. It's what my wife and I did. We got it. And I'm glad we did. And I'm really not worried about side effects 30 years from now. No. All right. All right, it's Friday, 877-BOB-LIVE.